name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, hello and welcome to Pure Home with me, Sahar Haqju. Well, they say forgiveness is redemption for the soul. Forgiveness is a very, very important characteristic that we need to all acquire to be able to forgive and forget and have compassion. Today we'll have a very knowledgeable guest here with us to help us better understand what forgiveness that is all about. Of course, we'll have other segments we'll have from here and there, a report, and much, much more in our program, so don't go away. Today in our studios, we're honored to have Dr. Hami Jamshidi Arad. Hello and welcome to the program, Dr. Arad.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the chance that you granted me to be
at the program. Our pleasure having you here. Dr. Arad is an Islamic scholar as well as a university professor, and he's also a writer. So without further ado, let's get into our discussion about the beautiful term of forgiveness. Let's speak about this term and what is it all about? What is forgiveness?
Okay. There's a nice as forgiveness itself. Forgiveness is the ultimate dignity of human, ultimate trait of mankind who is looking for beauty, for affection, for love. I have quoted directly two definition of textual definition of forgiveness, mm-hmm. and I would like to give them to you. Mm-hmm. One is from a dictionary, and the other one is from a writer who is the establisher or the founder of the Institute of Forgiveness Studies. And the first one is, it says, forgiveness is the renunciation or cessation of resentment, indignation or anger as a result of a perceived offense, disagreement or mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution for any action past. And the other one is, the Oxford English dictionary defines forgiveness as it to grant free pardon and to give up all claim on account of an offense or debt. Okay, mm-hmm. up to here we got to different definitions of forgiveness. But what is forgiveness? Mm-hmm. Can we define it totally? Can we define it completely? As long as it means, that is a vast mm-hmm. area of meaning. That's a world of love. Mm-hmm. That's a world of not mechanistic world. It is a mentalistic world. Mm-hmm. It is metaphysical merit of human being mm-hmm. as a lover creature, as a lovingly creature, a lovely creature. So if you ask me what is the meaning of forgiveness or definition of forgiveness, I can tell you forgiveness is the highest level of showing humanity of a human being, mm-hmm. showing the devotion, the affection, the love, and being in the way of perfection toward the religious doctrines, Islamic creeds.
And taking on, I guess, characteristics of the creator.
Yeah, I'm going.
The
and
ultimate.
Going to get, mm-hmm. going to get closer and closer to the internal satisfaction, mm-hmm. internal self-confidence. It is a phenomenon which shows the healthy inside, mm-hmm. the healthy mind, the healthy feeling, mm-hmm. the healthy intentions of a creature called human being. Mm-hmm.
And also, again, I think the two definitions that you gave us, one was from the Oxford and one was from a writer, you said. And I think it's interesting because the one from the writer had more of an emotional aspect to it, where the other one was like of basically passing your right and denying yourself of the right and or any debt, I think it was referring to, as opposed to the other one was saying to not have resentment. Which, again, goes back to the term forgive and forget.
Forgive and forget.
Forget,
very
because a lot
important.
Of times we have forgiveness, but yeah. that forgetting has not, it doesn't come exactly. with it. And people remember and they, you know, they kind of hang on to that thought and that resentment, I think, as okay. opposed to completely forgiving.
Sorry, in the continuation of our discussion, mm-hmm. I should mention that there are three kinds of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness of a man toward another man, mm-hmm. forgiveness of society toward a man, mm-hmm. and forgiveness of God towards the human being. Mm-hmm. So they are perfectly different from each other, mm-hmm. and they need some deep look and some deep overlook throughout the related literature, religious and social science, mm-hmm. and psychological aspects of mm-hmm. the problem, and so a humanitarian view of the problem, and then the divine view of the problem. Mm-hmm. From the angle of a man forgiving another man, mm-hmm. here, a man knows that, okay, the other man has done wrong, mm-hmm. and he has been offended. Mm-hmm. But although he has been offended, he finds himself in a position as a human being, as a salvated and elevated creature, character, personality, to forgive the person and to let him enjoy the life as he himself enjoys, mm-hmm. and to let him show affections to the others, mm-hmm. in response to his own action, mm-hmm. in a society where there is the nice factor of forgiveness, that society will never fall. Mm-hmm.
And that's the forgiveness we're talking about here today. That's the main topic of our discussion, right? The forgiveness for man towards man.
Yes. In the forgiveness of a man towards a man creates an atmosphere in which all the human beings love each other. Mm-hmm. All those who are trying to commit crimes about the others change their minds. Mm-hmm. Or at least they stand in the lowest possible stand, and mm-hmm. then the higher class is going to be devoted to the people who love to forgive and to forget, mm-hmm. and to live with the others. For example, we see in Iran, mm-hmm. in Iran we have many people who have unknowingly committed some wrongdoings about mm-hmm. other families. We see they genuinely and geniusly and humanistically forgive them, mm-hmm. even at the where they have to be punished.
You mean as far as the law goes? I'm not sure what you mean.
Not legal. For example, mm-hmm. for example, somebody has stolen my car, mm-hmm. and the police captures him. When I go over there, I declare my satisfaction. Okay, I forgave mm-hmm. him. I don't want any revenge. Mm-hmm. I don't want any action from him toward me. Just mm-hmm. I forgive him and then I forget him. Mm-hmm. Here, the people are not pessimistic to each other. Mm-hmm. In a society where forgiveness plays its main role, the optimistic view of point grows higher and higher and higher. Mm-hmm. Such a society can be called a stable society.
Mm-hmm. And a society leading to salvation.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Leading to salvation, leading to perfection, leading to closer and closer to the satisfaction of God.
Oh, God. Well, Almighty. I want to speak a little bit more about why we should forgive and kind of go into deep reasons for ourselves and others. But we'll go and we'll take a break. We'll listen to our story. And of course, we'll be back.
Once upon a time, there were some guys who stayed up until hours after midnight and talked to each other. When they finished talking, they sometimes did some things which caused trouble for them. Some of these guys liked to imitate what heroes did. They liked to do great and frightening things which few people dared to do. One winter night, when the moon wasn't in the sky, an ignorant guy said, "Let's go to the graveyard." One of them said, "Why should we go to the graveyard at this time of night? What has happened?" The ignorant guy answered, "Nothing has happened. I want to see who is brave enough to go to the graveyard at this time of night." Another guy said, "Going to the graveyard is easy. If a person can go to the graveyard and do something, he is brave. What should he do, for example?" "For example, he should knock a nail in the floor of the mortuary." The ignorant man said, "I'll do it." "Aren't you afraid?" "What should I be afraid of? Fetch me a nail now." One of the guys went home and fetched a nail. The ignorant man took the nail, picked up a stone from the ground, and headed towards the graveyard. He went and his friends followed him. They reached the graveyard dark at night. When their feet touched the first graves, they stopped. The ignorant guy looked at his friends behind him and said, "Wait here, I'll be back in a minute." Then he entered the graveyard little by little. He couldn't see his friends anymore. While he could hear the sound of his own breaths, he passed through the graves until he reached the mortuary. There was nothing in the mortuary but a wooden coffin which was always there. In order to finish his task sooner, the ignorant guy sat down right near the door and started to knock the nail on the floor. Since it was too dark to see anything, the lower part of the guy's cloak ran under the nail and he nailed it to the floor. When he was finished, he felt that somebody has held his cloths and thought that somebody is teasing him. Thus he said, "Release me." But when he looked more carefully, he saw nobody around there but himself. Suddenly the wind blew and hit the branches of the tree to the door of the mortuary. The ignorant guy was afraid to death, so he fainted. On the other hand, his friends ran away instead of helping him. The next morning, the news spread in the city. People said that something had happened at the graveyard. People went to the graveyard. They saw a guy lying in the mortuary floor. They wanted to help him stand up. They saw that the lower part of his cloak was nailed to the floor. One of his friends, who had encouraged him to go to the graveyard the night before, laughed and said loudly, "Look at what our friend has done. He has nailed his own cloak to the floor." This story is cited when someone does something which causes trouble for him or her. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're here with Dr. Rod and we're discussing forgiveness. And we defined forgiveness a little bit before the break. And now we want to move on to ask, why should we forgive? Because basically, when we forgive, we're denying ourselves that right to be angry or to get some revenge or some kind of recompensation or something of that sort. So why should we forgive?
You know, it has three dimensions that we have to be people who forgive. The first one is from a psychological point of view. In a longitudinal research, they have found that the people who forgive are healthier, and their cardiovascular functionings and their mental functionings are higher than the others. And at the meantime, the people who never forgive and try not to forgive, they keep resentment, they are mentally sick. They have some mental, emotional, and character problems with themselves. So we should forgive, because before the forgiveness affects the person who is forgiven, it affects our own personality. We feel secure internally. We feel secure emotionally, and we feel secure divinely. Specifically, we Muslims are in a domain that the doctrines of our religion orders us to forgive as far as possible. But there are some points that forgiveness is not emphasized or is not suggested, is not offered. For example, when I forgive something and it ruins the society, its reflection goes back negatively to the society, or the society gets upset from that, it is not good. For example, I see somebody is denying the God, the Almighty, I cannot forgive him. Because he is a person who is denying everything we have.
So these are
as
reasons
our merits.
Why we shouldn't forgive.
Yes, when we forget the other people, it becomes a pattern. The other members of the society paternalize from us, and forgiving becomes a good custom, a good tradition, and a good merit among the members of the society, and it helps the society to live in peace and comfort and in love and affection. So forgiving is, I think, the main element of living as a human being, standing in a position which can be claimed that we are the highest creation of God.
And just like, they say forgive and be forgiven, because we want to be forgiven a lot of times, us as Muslims, especially on the Day of Judgment, we want to be forgiven. So as because we're all human beings that make mistakes, we expect to be forgiven and, easily so or justly. So we need to forgive to be forgiven. We need to acquire that characteristic, like you said, so that society in return will forgive us for our mistakes and our shortcomings.
So I think, as I said, forgiving is a good trait, a good manner, a good function, but under some conditions. Forgiving should help the society toward perfection, toward salvation, toward affection. If a forgiving action helps the society to go toward falling, the fall in their merits, spiritualities, in their humanities, such a forgiving is not good, and it is not advised, and it is prohibited also. But because we want to be forgiven, we would like to forgive the others too. And we would ask our God to forgive us, but God forgives us. Because one of the traits of God is the ultimate forgiver of human beings under some condition. Okay, I have made a mistake. I have committed a mistake and a wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. If I get awakened, if I awaken my insight, mm-hmm. I awaken my conscience, and go back toward God and ask God to forgive me, under one condition, I become immediately forgiven. Mm-hmm. That never do the same wrong again in my life. Mm-hmm. Never go back to it. And here, when I never go back to it, I get higher
status.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A higher position, higher merit.
So basically, yeah. That comes a certain amount of regret of what you've done. And like you said, that repentance, that regret and that repentance, when they come in hand, then you're eligible to be forgiven.
Forgiven.
And then at the same time, you said too much lenience in that forgiveness. If it causes the person to go back to do the same thing, if they don't regret, fully regret what they've done, then that could lead to failure in society, because then that person will continue and repeat what they've done, their mistake. They'll continue to repeat it if they're constantly forgiven. So I guess it needs to have a balance, and ultimately goes back to the person's intention. How, you know, do they fully understand that they've made that mistake and make a promise not to repeat it?
I think exactly. In a very brief sentence, I should say that forgiving should be done in a way that to create a positive atmosphere and mm-hmm. a positive impression mm-hmm. on the person who is forgiven mm-hmm. and on the person who is forgiving and on the society. Forgiven shouldn't be a taboo. Mm-hmm. Forgiven shouldn't be a lesson to mislead the people. Yeah. It should teach the people how mm-hmm. to be guided to the right path mm-hmm. toward perfection, humanity perfection, divine perfection, and toward the salvation.
Mm-hmm. Forgiving
so it needs to
should be
taken. A nice lesson.
Yeah, it should have those characteristics and be associated to those forms of thought, as opposed to being carefree and, I mean, not really something if it really doesn't matter to you and you think, so what? You know, it shouldn't be from that aspect. Same. When you're forgiving. Let's go back to some of the positive aspects that you were saying, why we should forgive and some of the benefits that it has for us as human beings, the physical benefits, the psychological benefits. Let's expand a little bit more on those.
Okay. You know, I told you, forgiveness should be looked from three angles. One is man to man. Mm-hmm. The second one is society to man. The third one is the Creator, God the Almighty, to man. In the man-to-man relationship of forgiveness, it should be in a proper mood, mm-hmm. proper place, and proper reaction from forgiver to the forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know, if my forgiving Mr. X or Miss Y misleads the society, this forgiving is not advised, mm-hmm. is not right. But if my forgiving gives a lesson to Miss X or Mr. Y, and it teaches the society to learn a new lesson in order to perfect their situation mm-hmm. in the realm of humanity, in a society who is going to be a lucky society, a perfect society, a humanistic society, this is a good lesson for mm-hmm. them. This should be done. Such a person who clarifies the distinction between right forgiveness and wrong forgiveness mm-hmm. will be a healthy man whose mind is functioning properly, mm-hmm. whose beliefs are okay and right, who is religious oriented person, scientifically oriented person, mm-hmm. and sociologically oriented person, who is a positive factor, mm-hmm. who is making a society to move toward the perfection. Mm-hmm. But if we forgive in a wrong place, mm-hmm. misforgive, it
we're
takes
the
society to regression, not mm-hmm. progression. Mm-hmm. It takes us to regression, not progression. And from the other side, the people, we all the people, Christianity, Judas, Hindus, other people, mm-hmm. specifically Islam, we believe that God is the greatest forgiver. Mm-hmm. And He forgives us if we get aware, if we awaken ourselves not to commit that crime mm-hmm. again. We repent. Our repentancy, which is stable and logical
and truthful,
Will be accepted by God. And the other forgiveness should affect in the same way, mm-hmm. should act in the same way. Forgiveness is necessary for a society, from a village, from a family, a house, father, mother, children, mm-hmm. toward a city, toward the country, toward the worldwide level. In the world, mm-hmm. you see, we are human beings.
We make mistakes, so it's natural
that we... It should be forgiven, but by teaching good lessons. Right.
Not to send out, I guess, any mixed signals or mixed messages. Like you said, if you're forgiving in the wrong place and it's not appropriate to be forgiven, then you're confusing people, you're confusing the person who's being forgiven as to the seriousness of their mistake.
Exactly. You know, I didn't want at first to reveal this problem from my own family. I have a son, 33 years old. Mm-hmm. He has been sick for 7 years, mm-hmm. mentally sick. Mm-hmm. Okay? For 7 years, I have forgiven him anything he had done, mm-hmm. and he has done. Now he is cured. Now he has entered the society. He is a good employee.
Good to hear.
He is a good university student now, mm-hmm. and he is going to prepare himself to marry and have a life. My forgiveness saved the life of my young.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It really, for 7 years, mm-hmm. everything he committed, I guided him, I forgave him, I didn't get resentful, mm-hmm. I didn't get upset, I didn't get disappointed, frustrated. I said, okay, go ahead, I'm with you. I know you are uncomfortable mm-hmm. now. I know that the sickness, the mental sickness is bothering you. Okay, I feel that too because I love you. And he told me, Father, you have been a good friend for me, good psychiatrist for me, a good psychologist for me, mm-hmm. a good physicist for me, and a good father for me. You made me alive. He was deep in schizophrenia mm-hmm. and paranoia, and he had personality disorder, mm-hmm. and he's treated just now.
Wonderful.
Under one big factor, forgiveness.
The support
for the sake
and the
of God, for the sake of saving a human's life, mm-hmm. rescuing a human, and making that young man live for many years after this happily and luckily, and to be a good member for mm-hmm. the society. Forgiveness helps us to have a very fruitful life.
Mm-hmm. That's on that beautiful note, I think that forgiveness that you said comes in line with compassion and that support. So, you know, if we can all acquire a bit of those traits, that would be wonderful. We'll go and take a break. When we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back to the program. Well, now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague Farhad Bafoudjou. In this part of the program, I think he'll show us an email, probably an interesting book, and an informative article. So go ahead, Mr. Bafoudjou.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of From Here and There. Do you have enough sleep? If no, listen to this. A new research conducted by American researchers indicates that sleep acts like a waste removal system in clearing away some toxic proteins in brain. Researchers suggest that sleep activates brain's own network of plumbing pipes during which waste material is carried out of the brain. They say this cleaning system has a big role in the fixing of memories in the brain and learning. The sleep researchers believe that brain's failing to clean toxins plays significant role in its abnormalities. Some experts believe that the recent findings can be considered a new approach to Alzheimer's prevention, particularly how sleep affects levels of beta amyloid. Beta amyloid concentrations continue to increase while a person is awake, and then after people go to sleep, that concentration of beta amyloid decreases. Welcome back. Today, the book I'm going to introduce you to is titled Journey of the Unseen World, written by Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Najafi. This book attempts to draw a picture of the barzakh, or what in English call it limbo, I guess, in the light of the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet and his successors, peace be upon them. It shows the bliss of the virtuous and the wretchedness of the evildoers with the help of examples and hints taken from the verses and the traditions. Some of the chapters of the book are The Station of the Grave and the Beginning of Barzakh, Journey to the First Station, Journey towards the Second Station, and Journey towards the Third Station, the Fourth Station and Reunion with Hari, Travel to the Next Station with Hari, the Station of Bliss and Peace, the Last Station, the Valley of Peace, Spring and Valley of Peace, and A Visit to Hell. Hope you will like it. Well, Anna, it's time for our emails. We have an email by Elia. She has written to us. Hi, thank you for your informative program. I have a problem which I hope one of your guests can help me. I married a man who had a serious psychological problem many years ago. Of course, I didn't know anything about his illness. And she continues to say, after two hard years, we divorced. I forgave him since I understand he was sick, but I couldn't forgive his parents because they knew all about his illness, but they did not tell me anything about it. I have lived with this hatred for many years and I can't forgive them. I really suffer from my feelings. And she adds, I know the cause of hatred is the waste of spirits, but I think they ruined my life. Please guide me. I think Dr. Jamshidi is here to help you. Dr. Jamshidi, what can she do?
Okay, you know, she has pointed out to two very important points. One, her marriage with a man whom she didn't know that she has mental disorders.
Right.
Okay, in the society today, all over the world, mostly, most of us, more than 80%, have somehow more or less mental disorders. Specifically after the World War II, people got mentally disordered in crowded cities, big cities, in nuisance of the urban areas. So here we know being mentally disordered is not a sin for a person. He has become that, okay, there is no other way. But she says, I have forgiven him. Okay, that shows that she has something beautiful inside who is able to forgive and forget.
Right.
But unfortunately, she points out to her parents.
Right.
Who have not announced her that our son is mentally disordered, mentally ill. Here, there are two problems. One is from the psychological point of view. Okay, those father and mother or his parents, here is under some question. They should have told. They should have declared before marriage that, okay, he is in such a state. Are you satisfied to live with such a person? This was their duty as a human being. But because some shortcomings in their personality traits, they didn't do that. But it is not apt. It is not worth, it doesn't cost not to forgive them for all, because it has two sides. One, it burns my daughter, my good young lady, from inside, spoils his life, spoils his happinesses, makes life very dark to her. And then she always thinks about them. She always curses them. She always just tries to have some kind of revenge, theoretical revenge, even not in action about them. It doesn't do anything for them. It bothers our young lady. I suggest, if it is possible to her, to forgive his parents too, and to know that in our path of life, we sometimes face some obstacles that are not under our control. Unknowingly, we face some problems. In that place, we have to go toward God. We ask God to help us, to show us a better way. There are some people who have lived for 40 years in a family. After 4 years, they have divorced. No problem. In our families, there are many of them. But please, my daughter, be sure that, because I'm 70 years old and you are as my daughter, be sure if you forgive them, your life will change. You will have a new plan for your future. You are young. You have to live. You have to love. Please try to empty your mind from that case and try to forgive and forget completely what happened in your life. To start from now on, human being has a very strange power to adapt himself to the new situations and conditions. Please try to adapt yourself to see the world better, to look from a wide angle to the life. Please don't torture yourself, because it hurts you and it takes you backward. You know, there are three motions. One is static, the other one is progressive toward perfection, the other one is
regressive.
Regressive.
Right.
Try not to be regressive. That feeling takes you to regression. Mm-hmm. Please try to live and to know that we are, for a very short time, visitors in this world. We have to travel, we have to fly to our, permanent house, permanent place. Try to forgive and forget them. It will help you at first, and then will somehow help them, because they are old, they are going to pass away from this path, from this world, and you will be more comfortable. Thank you very much.
Right, thank you very much. So Elia, as Dr. Jamshedi said, you have this beautiful concept of forgiving in your heart. So forgive his parents too, and probably in the long run, you will have a healthier mind, which leads to a healthier personal life, and probably in the future, a healthier society. Thanks for watching. Back to you, Ms. Afshu.
Thank you
very much, Mr. Vafoju. On that beautiful note, let's go watch our report, and of course, don't go away. That's one.
Skill Learning Center number 11 which is affiliated with the Women Empowering Staff of Tehran Municipality, was established in this building in the year 2012. At present, more than 100 women work here, and they've been introduced to the center by the Women Empowering Staff of the Tehran Municipality. And after receiving the necessary training, these women start their activity at actually different departments. And this place, in fact, is producing a company which produces evening dresses and informal and semi-formal clothes for women and girls. And our activities here have a number of different stages. At first, the design is prepared and confirmed by the designing department, which then goes through other procedures in the designing department, and designs will be delivered to the cutting department after that.
Here is the designing department. In this department, we gather up-to-date information at first. Then, the employees draw the preliminary sketches. Next, they prepare the initial template. After sampling and confirming the design, the amount of the product sale will be entered into the system via a digitalizer. At the end, the final template will be delivered to the cutting department.
And then the number and sizes of the products will be determined based on the orders. And after determining the sizes, the cutting will start. And after which, the separating different kinds of cuts, those which need a padding to be adhered to them or be sent to a related department. And this is done by an automatic machine that then cuts the parts that will be put together again and delivered to the dressmakers. The important point about our job is that, like I said before, more than 100 breadwinner women who used to have problems finding a job were introduced to this dress-producing center by the Women Empowering Staff of Tehran Municipality. And after offering them training courses, these women were given jobs. And as a result, not only did these women gain the ability to earn their living, they also gained the necessary self-confidence to participate in social activities. Some institutions which try to help people just solve some of their problems, like their family needs and financial help. But the important point about the empowering staff is training, creating ability, and offering jobs.
Welcome back. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. We'd like to thank Dr. Rod for being with us and enlightening us on the term of forgiveness. And to all of our viewers, we will be celebrating Eid al-Qadir coming up on Thursday, so we'd like to offer you congratulations on that auspicious event that's coming up. Thanks so much for watching. Don't forget, go on our website, peerhome@sahartv.ir is our email. Send us comments, your questions, anything you'd like to say or ask us. And sahartv.ir is our website. Go and check it out and let us know what you think. Thanks so much for inviting us into your peer home. And don't forget, forgive and forget. And hopefully we will continue this discussion with Dr. Rod, another episode of Peer Home. So don't forget to tune in next time. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.